Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
We should pray, all right? Let's go straight into gospel. James chapter 1, verse 21. Help me do more. James chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to verse 21 and verse 22. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Say loud enough, say neighbor. Are you ready for the word? Turn to your other neighbor, say my other neighbor. Are you ready for the word? All right, James chapter 1, verse 21. What does it say?
Filthiness.
Yes. Give me verse 22.
But be ye doers of the word.
Be ye doers of the word.
And not hearers only.
And not hearers only.
Deceiving your
So the Bible own says if you hear the word of God only and you don't do it, you are deceiving yourselves. If all you do is hear God's word and you don't do it, you see, the word of God is not for information, it's for transformation. You are not a memory card to store revelation or store word. You are a river flowing to a dark and dying world. So the Bible says, be not hearers only. Jesus Christ, speaking about this, said, he that hears my word and does not do it, I will liken to a foolish man. He that hears my word and does it, I will liken to a wise man. So you see, it is not hearing that makes wise or foolish. You can hear and be foolish. Now there are people who are here today who think that they are wiser than those that did not come because they came. And still they are not going to do what they heard. They are not different from those that didn't hear at all. Hearing does not make you wise or foolish. It is doing what you've heard that makes you wise. What does verse 23 say? If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer,
he is like unto a man beholding.
Uncle Joe, please, you have to keep a mic on for me. Yes?
It is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Yes.
For he beholdeth himself.
Yes.
And goeth his way.
Yes.
And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
So the Bible says that the word of God is like a glass. We have in the house today Mommy Fanny's daddy. Where is he seated? Where is he seated? At the back there. Let's celebrate him. Thank you very much, Daddy. That's Uncle Joe's father-in-law. We are very glad to have you in the house this morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. You know, when you go to all those old churches, when you understand, say, praise the Lord. We also have priests all the way from Lagos. I call her the SLC Lagos resident pastor. Let's celebrate priests. She's in the house this morning. I'm so happy to see you. The Bible says the word of God is like a mirror. So what do you do in front of a mirror? The mirror tells you what you look like. Tells you where you need adjustment. You get my point? So if my tie was bent to this side and I stand in front of my mirror, I see it. What is expected for me to do immediately? So the word of God is for you to be changed. The Bible says, as we behold, we are changed. It is transformation, not for information. So if I'm constantly checking God's word and I'm not changed, then there's a problem. If I'm looking at the mirror, Bible says he that hears and does not do, he forgets. It's like someone that looks at the mirror and forgets what it looks like. You look at the mirror and you saw that your body was not properly done and you walked away without adjusting it. That's not the purpose of a mirror. All the things that you've heard this month and the previous month are not for your information. They are for your transformation. So when I taught on faith, it was for you to be changed. And now that we are focusing on prayer, is that there will be tangible, perceptible transformation in your prayer life. That your prayer life would grow from what it used to be. Okay, don't hit that key. That one you hit now before this one. You're still on this one. All right. A perceptible change in your life. Last week we spoke about the fact that Israel was called up to God. I said that we are not serving a God that is reluctant. We are not approaching a God that we have to beg. God is the one that initiates a fellowship. It is God that initiates this thing. God is the one that wants to talk to you. So we have not come to a reluctant God. We have not approached a God that we need to appeal to. God is longing for fellowship. He has given us access to himself, access to his wisdom, access to his presence. And I said last week that the greatest asset of a believer is what? Is what? Is access to God. The greatest asset of a believer is not his car. The greatest asset of a believer is not his Instagram page. The greatest asset of a believer is his access to God. In that passage that we read, Exodus chapter 19 and 20, we saw that God wanted to relate with his people directly. He wanted to meet with them one-on-one. He wanted to talk with them by himself. But the people prefer to hear God through Moses than to hear him directly. They said it. They says, you talk to us. For if God talks to us, we will die. This was the difference between Moses and Israel. In Psalms 103 verse 7, we show that Moses knew God. Give it to me. Do more. Psalms 103 verse 7. The Bible says that God showed himself his ways.
He made known his ways unto Moses.
So he made known his ways unto Moses.
His acts unto the children.
But the children of Israel only saw his acts. They only saw his hand. He showed Moses his face. He showed Moses his ways. So Moses knew God because he was willing to have a one-on-one interaction with God. Moses knew God. And their excuse, like I said last week, was that they didn't want to die. I said it, that the altar of prayer is a place of death. It is impossible to walk with God and not experience death. Everything that does not look like God in your life will die in his presence. That's the truth. The more of God you have, the less of jealousy you have. The more of God you have, the less of envy you have. The more of God you have, the less angry you are. Anyone who is touchy, sensitive, irritable, anyone that is easily angered needs time with Jesus. If you are hypersensitive, everything offends you. You fight in the filling station. You fight in the market. You fight in the bank. You say, I don't take nonsense. Christianity is not stupidity. You need time with God. You need time with God. People who walk with the Holy Spirit will soon find that they are not easily angered. They are not temperamental. That will die in your life. Flesh will die in your life. The flesh cannot glory in his presence. The more of God you take in, the less of flesh you see. Everything, like I said, pride, your attachment to yourself, you're overrating yourself. You are not the center of the universe. Some of us think that everything should go round about us. We, me, my, he. Your relationship is all about you. That's why relationship is not working. That's why you have 10 exes. Your relationship is not about you. Your attachment to yourself, your attachment to stuff. God is interested in every other thing that has the potential of being a God in your life. The moment God notices that your TV has become a God, that's idolatry. You don't have to carve something in your house and put palm oil on it. Your phone could have become your idol. If you wake up every morning, I worship you. And that's the first thing that you kiss. That's your God. That's your God. Your life, yourself, your clothes, your shoes can become a God in your life. I told you before, bought my first TV, 32 inches, Samsung TV, slim, crystal edges. My first TV in my life. I love the TV in my life. When I hung it, I cleaned it every morning. I bought Windoline. Psst, psst, psst. Clean it every morning. If you came to visit me, I'll say, I need to show you something. Come see what this TV can do. So I'll show you the TV can do this, the TV can do that, the TV can do that. And I kept doing that every time. And God saw that the TV has become my God. And one day I woke up and the man says, Philip, give me that TV. And you will know that it has become my God, because everything that you cannot give is a God unto you. You cannot give that shoe, it's your God. So I say, Lord, no. Where do you want my TV? I can give you, I've already given you my life. God says, but I want your TV. So I struggled with him. I'm not going to give you my TV. It's so that my heart had attached to that TV. I went to a retreat in Kefi. And as I was praying, I saw a vision and my TV hanging in the church. I said, Lord, he said, take it there. Went back home. We didn't even have a car then. My wife and I packaged the TV. I zipped it up, put it back in the carton, sellotaped it. I said, Lord, you know nothing is going to take your place in my life. Not a TV, not in this world. So my wife and I packed the TV. We climbed the Okada with it. We're taking it to that church. When we got to the church, we dropped it. When I dropped it, it was a 32 inches TV. I said, Lord, we're not just going to drop a 32 inches TV. We're going to come back next week with a 51 inches TV. So we went and bought a brand new TV. Packaged it and carried it so that I can prove to God that this TV is not a God in my life. We've had bigger TVs after that. We've given bigger TVs after that. The moment he notices something in your life, flesh, he will kill it. Kill it in his presence. The Bible spoke about Enoch. He said Enoch walked with God and was what? The Bible says, and was not. Enoch walked with God and was not. That English is correct. Because the more you walk with God, the more was not you become. Everything about you will disappear. All you have left is God. The more I walk with God, the more of God I become. The more I walk with God, the more of God I become. I spoke on Tuesday that God never makes any man in the public. How many of you were in church on Tuesday? Let me see you on Tuesday. If you were not in church on Tuesday, oh, sorry, you missed. This Tuesday coming. Moses Akko was a blessing to us on Tuesday. So please, if you are not in church on Tuesday, you have to be in church this Tuesday. The Bible says that God lives in the secret. I explained that on Tuesday. God put Adam to sleep when he was about to make Eve, because God does not make anybody in the sight of another man. God does not make people in the public. Everything that God did, every person that he made them in the secret. Joseph, Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist, Jesus, all were made in seclusion. Even the oil of that widow multiplied in the secret. The Bible says, she says, shut your door. If you open the oil in the public, the oil does not multiply in the public. If you want your oil to multiply, what do? You go to the secret place. We saw that in scriptures over and over. God will draw you to the secret place. God will draw you. In your secret place is the place that he teaches you strength. In your secret place, I'm laying a foundation, I'm doing this deliberately. In your secret place, he teaches you capacity. You grow in your walk with God. You grow in patience. You grow in long suffering. Some of us are not patient at all. We can't take rubbish. It is in God's presence that he teaches you patience. Some of us, we are Abebelu KK. We cannot stay one place. Your body is always shaking. You cannot stay. The Bible says, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. I said in my status that God speaks in a still small voice. If you cannot hear him, maybe you are not still enough, or you are not small enough. We are always jumping. Our body, we are looking for distraction, easily distracted. Stay one place. Stay in his presence. God taught me that, you know, as an extrovert, our body must, we love activity. If we're not doing something, we don't think everything must be moving. What's going on? You know, I'm so addicted to movement. Somebody says, Pastor, things are moving in my house. I say, are they moving forward? So long as they're moving forward. He said, Pastor, things are moving in my house. I say, are they moving forward? I went to pray. One day, I was still in Lagos in those days. And the Lord was teaching me patience, how to wait in his presence. He said, wait. See that song that choir sang? Stay. Stay. Some of us cannot stay in his presence. Before we want to go and wee-wee. How to go and poo-poo. How to go and, you cannot stay. Your body must move. You have to learn it. Stay. Be calm. Be still. Stay there. So I prayed. And I was done with my prayer by 11. I will never forget. 11 a.m. I done with my prayer that morning. I went to pray in my father's store. My father had a compound behind our house. And there was a store there. So I would go and hide in that store. And I would pray there. And I prayed. And I remember I prayed. It was 11 a.m. I was done praying. And the Lord said to me, said, son, I said, yes. He said, you're going to stay here till 12 noon. I said, but I'm done with my prayer. He said, but I want you to stay here. I said, stay for what? He said, stay and behold my glory. So I stayed, me, sat in one place without my phone and beheld his glory for one complete hour. It was the longest hour of my life. And those of you who are watching YouTube videos and it says there's 5 seconds, you can't wait for that 5 seconds to skip the advert. Is it because, give it to me now, you know? Now. Nah. So God said, sit down. He said, I want to tell you something, but I'll tell you by 12. So I sat there. He says, I said, okay, can I be praying? No, don't pray. You know, because I love activity. Why sit down? No. Shh. Just sit down. So I sat. That is the most difficult thing for me to do. To sit down. It's so, you can't know how difficult it is. It's so difficult to sit down and not do anything. It's very difficult for me. So God had to teach me that. Sit down here. And there was a sister. Her name is Sister Falaka in those days in Lagos. She's a prophetess, a powerful man of God. She was the one that taught me how to hear from God. Powerful man of God. And she was close to 40 in those years without a spouse. And I'd come to pray that God would give her a spouse. Because I love her, you know, and she's such a strong mentor in my life. And that was becoming a concern for her. So, by 12 p.m., the Lord said, Philip, I said, yes, Lord, finally. He said, you go and tell Folake that I said, two men are coming this year. The first one, I did not appoint for her. But the second one, I have ordained for her. So I ran out of the place. In case God would say, okay, you remain one, stay till 1 p.m. I remember I went to my Mr. Falake that day. I said, Safalake, the Lord spoke to me. She said, what did the Lord say? The Lord said, two people are coming this year. He said, one, the first one, he had not ordained for you, but the second one, he had ordained for you. He said, go and tell God that why should the first one come in the first instance? I said, this woman didn't even know what I went through to be able to get this one. And that was about August that year when the Lord said that. August, me, somebody has to wait on the Lord for the spouse. So after the year went, she didn't tell me anything. I remember in January, I started fighting. I said, Lord, you made me a liar. Why did you tell me that? Blah, 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 blah. And I was kind of spanning in my prayer place. How can you tell me this? She said, no. And you went down. God said, go and ask her. So I went to ask her. I was like, yeah, it's true. Sorry, Jare. Yeah, the man actually came. Said, the first person came, you know, I was trying to falsify my documents, you know, for this. I said, this is the one the Lord says, not the one. Said, second one, in fact, we have started coaching. I said, but you didn't tell me. I found that secret in my secret place. And I learned to wait on the Lord. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. In your secret place, the Lord will be. Today we're talking about approaching God as a father. Don't worry, I'll be done very fast. After 12 minutes more. John chapter 20, verse 15 to 17. Wait more. I want to be sure. John chapter 20. Okay, that's it. 15 to 17. Give it to me.
Jesus said unto her.
Woman.
Why weepest thou?
Why? What?
Weepest thou?
Why weepest thou?
Whom seekest thou?
She.
Supposing him to be the gardener.
Yes.
Saith unto him.
Yes.
Sir.
Yes.
If thou have borne him hence.
Yes.
Tell me where thou hast laid him.
Yes.
And I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is the same master.
Yes.
Jesus said unto her,
yes.
Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my father.
Yes.
But go to my brethren.
Yes.
And say unto them,
yes.
I ascend unto my father and
yes.
your father
yes.
and my God and your
so,
God.
So that day, Mary Magdalene, whom the Bible said had 7 demons, had stayed back at the tomb. And there's a lot of secret in that story. Why would Jesus turn back to see Mary? What was in Mary that made her command the attention of the Savior of the world? This was Jesus. He had risen from the dead. He was on the way to his father's place. And he saw this woman that would not leave. She was not the only disciples that come to that tomb. Every other person came and they left. The master is not here. Wow. Let's go and tell the others. The master is not here. Wow. Let's go and tell the others. But one woman stayed back and said, they must tell me where they put my Jesus. Jesus cannot ignore an hungry heart. The true test of hunger is in time. How long can you stay? How far can you go? The woman stayed back. Peter, the head of the apostle, had come. Makaskwata labata. Went. James went. Everybody went. But this woman stayed back. And the Bible says this woman was the woman from whom seven demons had been casted. And she saw that day, saw Jesus. Jesus Christ said to her, says, go and tell my brothers. So he calls the disciples, not my boys. He says, go and tell my brothers that I go to my father. And what? And what? So he calls God his father and calls God their father too. Putting himself on the same level with them. Give me Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. Jesus says, go and call. Give it to me in NLT. Go and tell my brothers, I am going to my father and their father. For the first time now, the disciples and everyone that would come afterwards ask the same father. That's what Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says. What does it say?
So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy.
Jesus and the ones that he made holy.
Have the same father.
Have the same father.
That is why Jesus is not ashamed.
That is why Jesus is not ashamed.
To call them his brothers and sisters.
So Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother and his sister. The way you are right here, where you are right now, you are the sister of Jesus. So when you come to God, you must learn to approach God as a father. On that point, he puts relationship over religion. He puts relationship as the strongest point for our walk with God over religion. Before then, everyone who walked with God, operated with God as a father. Sorry, as God. They spoke about him as God. As God. But God in this point became a father. He calls him Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. He says he's the God of the Father, he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is called. So we see God first as our Father. And his true nature is revealed in Jesus. We see God first as our Father. The moment this is clear in your head, it will help your prayer life. Some of us pray as a way to score a point with God. It's like you're checking a time. You know, in UK, you walk per hour. 1 hour prayer. In your mind, you've put in an hour. So you now have a score in heaven. Are you following my point? That's not a relationship. If you've been in a relationship before, and you have a girlfriend, or you have a boyfriend, or you have a husband, or you have a wife, you don't put in an hour of conversation. You don't count. It's okay. I've spoken to you 1 hour now. You don't do that. Do you do that? You know some of you were in love when you were on campus that did midnight course. How many have seen people that did midnight course before? How many of you did midnight course? Extra cool. Let me see your hands. Extra cool family. MTN. Oh, bless God for MTN. A lot of relationships were strengthened. I remember in those days, we don't count hours. When it's about 12, because it is 12. You see that? It is 12. By 11:55, we are ready to call. How many of you did that? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. How many of you have to force yourself to do it? Let me see your hands. You didn't have to force yourself. You have to say, today, I will do it. I will. No. You are looking forward to that time. This time, relationship families. 11:55, you are investor. You know, some people are writing jam. Some boyfriend and girlfriend, secondary school boyfriend and girlfriend writing jam. They think that they'll go to the same university to go and continue. I would have said, let me tell them, but let me just keep short. Life will tell them by themselves. Mm-hmm. So in those days, I remember, when I go to the toilet in the middle of the night, I would just see one guy by one pillar in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. You'll be hearing conversations everywhere. You have to start by 12. Because if you don't start by 12, you have missed out. No network will go again. Even if you cannot hear what the person says, you don't cut. Don't cut. Because if it cuts, you cannot connect again. So even when you cannot hear God, you don't cut. You don't cut. So you see them in those days with conversations. Sometimes it gets to a point. They say, are you too cut now? Are you too cut? No, you cut. No, you cut. I don't want to cut. You cut. Sometimes, when they are talking, they don't have anything to say again. Say, I've been the one talking this morning. You to say something. I say, hey, me too. I'm wonderful. You to start. Why are they doing that? They are in love. You see, love does not count time. 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 We must be ready to approach God as a father. In John chapter 14, verse 6 to 9, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I can give it to you, do more, don't worry. Start from Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We see God in Jesus. When you love, you don't talk out of guilt. You don't talk out of guilt. How many of you called your loved one and you fell asleep when you're talking to them? How many of you were so much in love? You know, like, I know this one because I saw it happen several in my house when Doing and Banji were caught. Doing was staying in our house. I saw it happen several. You know, Doing, we do video call. I'm telling you, I saw it in my eyes. Doing would do video call and fall asleep. And she would say that Banji should be watching her as she was sleeping. I'm telling you. And then if she wakes up and Banji is maybe at fallen asleep, then she would call back to wake him up. Or if you notice, because he was in Dubai, so I think there were 6 hours difference, and they had to do all that. So you see, I saw it happen. So when you fall asleep, when I saw God as just God and not my Father, many years ago, when I fell asleep and I'm praying, I struggle with sleeping. Please listen to me. I struggle with sleeping in my prayer place. And when I fall asleep, and the first thing I do when I wake up the next morning is to begin to ask for forgiveness. I will say, Lord, please forgive me. He will say, why? I will say, I fell asleep while I wanted to pray. How many of you have fallen asleep when you wanted to pray before? Let me see your hands. We have a big family. I fall asleep. Let me tell you how that thing got broken in my life. When I fell asleep, I woke up with guilt. You see, there's no guilt in love. Bible says love, perfect love, casted out all fear. You see, there's no fear of vulnerability in love. The reason why some of us are afraid of intimacy is that we are going to be found out. We are afraid of being... We have too many things we are hiding that we think coming close to someone else is going to expose us. And that's why some of us are afraid of being open. Not even to man, talking less of God. We close in so much because of religion. So one day I prayed like that. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He said, sorry for what? I said, I slept off. He said, son, in whose arms would you rather fall asleep if not in my arms? You see, that changed the narrative immediately. That it was not a sin. I was a father and I would carry my baby in my hands. And I would watch my baby fall asleep. Do you know I even prided over the fact that my baby falls asleep in my arms? What makes me think I'm a better father than God the Father? We see in Jesus, everything that God was, is the firstborn of the family. God is the Father. We have a family. Jesus is the firstborn. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, help me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Then we jump to John chapter 14, 6 to 9. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. What does it say?
God, who at sundry times,
yes,
and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers,
yes,
by the prophets,
yes,
hath in these last days,
yes,
spoken unto us by
the Bible
Son.
Says he spoke in the past by the prophets. God spoke in the past by prophet Isaiah, prophet Jeremiah, Elijah. But in this time, he spoke to us through his son Jesus. What does it say next?
Whom he had appointed heir of all
things. The Bible says he appointed him heir of all things. Yes?
What?
Yes?
Who will be in the brightness of his glory?
Yes?
And the express image
the Bible
of his
says
person.
Jesus is the express image of the person of God. Jesus is the express image. Colossians 1 verse 15 says, is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the picture of God. Jesus is the God that we can see. Are you following my point? Does that help you understand better? That we cannot see God, but Jesus is the God that we can see. If you go to heaven today, Jesus is the only one you can see. God is spirit. Jesus is man. Is God that became man. Jesus is the perceptible God. The Bible says he's the full express image of God. Jesus is everything that God is. If you want to know God, then pay attention to Jesus. Jesus will show you who God is. None of the prophets of old know who God is fully. All of them knew who God is partially. And it flowed through their temperaments. Only Jesus is the full expression of who God is. Moses knew God, but a part of God. Why would you know that Jesus is God and Moses was not? Moses said, if anybody's caught in adultery, what should you do to them? Stone them to death. But they brought an adulterer caught in the very act, having adultery with herself alone. And they brought her. It was the man that brought her. The Bible says she was caught in the very act. But somehow she was able to commit adultery with herself. Alone. And they brought her to Jesus. They said, Moses said, if anybody is caught in adultery, we should stone her. What say ye? And then Jesus, who is the full expression of God the Father, said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And all of them dropped their stone because all of them are with sin. Like the other guy that committed adultery with that woman and was not brought. And Jesus, who was the only sinless person, said, neither do I condemn you. So it was not God. It was not the full expression of God that says stone the adulterer. If God sees an adulterer, what God will do with an adulterer is what Jesus had done with that woman. How did I know? The woman they call Rahab was not just an adulterer. She was on a commercial level of adultery. She was a prostitute. The Bible says God included Rahab, the adulterer, in the same genealogy of Jesus with Mary the virgin. An adulterer and a virgin on the same level. That's God. Elijah had a portion of God, but not all. You see, if you follow those guys, you would have followed their temperaments. You didn't follow God. Check all of them. Check Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a perpetually depressed person. Always crying. He even wrote a whole book on Lamentations. Oh Israel, why dost thou left the Lord thy God? Perpetually emotional. Are you following me? You would have thought that was how God was. That God is emotional like that. But we soon found that was not how God was. Because then we saw Elijah, a man with zero compassion. Zero compassion, was on the mountain. The king sent 50 people with a captain to say, go and call Elijah. And he says, Elijah, thou man of God, come down. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume thee and thy 50. And fire came down. Do you know that God never told Elijah to call down fire anywhere? Even on Mount Carmel. When he went to Mount Carmel, what did God tell him? Go and show thyself unto her, for I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah went there first to call fire. There was no place. There was entirely no place. And we found out later, when the disciples told Jesus to call down fire and consume the Samaritans, he says, you do not know what kind of spirit you have. That means Jesus would have rebuked Elijah for calling down the fire. You cannot kill in the name of Jesus. Write that down. It's impossible to kill in the name of Jesus. Elijah was a perpetually temperamental man. He was angry. He was an abandoner. Abandoned everyone in his life. Elisha was not his first servant. He had a servant before Elisha. He abandoned him. He was an escaping man. Had no family. Not ready for any responsibility. He never wanted to pay attention or be responsible for anybody. This Elisha is a thorn in his flesh. He did everything possible to turn that guy back. He said, leave me. I'm going to Elijah said, I will not go. Leave me. I'm going to Bethel. If the Lord says, what? Did the Lord say, not take me with you? But that was Elijah. If you had followed Elijah, you would have thought that God was a man of fire. And everywhere you went, you would have called down fire on everybody. That's not God. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah was a man who was self-righteous in his own eyes. Started the book of Isaiah with woe unto the Assyrians. Woe unto the Amalekites. Woe unto the Hittites. Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, it was woe unto everyone. Woe, 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 woe. When he got to Isaiah chapter 6 and he saw the glory of God, he said, woe unto me. Woe, he said. So if you followed Isaiah, you would have followed a man thinking that was God. But that was not God. That was Isaiah's temperament. Jesus is the full expression of God the Father. See Jesus when he wants to pray. The Bible says Jesus Christ will wake up in the house and go to a far place to pray. Why does Jesus go to a far place to pray? Unlike some of us, when we want to pray, nobody can sleep. We must let everybody know that there's a spiritual person in this house. Father, we thank you, Father, we thank you, Father, we thank you. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. You can even go close to people who are sleeping. Membras ketelebada. Arise and shine. Shentrantan braskotele bataya. Jesus' prayer life was not a performance. It was not an opportunity to show other people how spiritual he was. His prayer life was a personal business between him and his Father. That was Jesus. The Bible says he will wake up long before dawn. Jesus never disturbed anybody with his spirituality. Write that down. Jesus' spirituality was not anybody's headache. Jesus, his spirituality was a personal relationship between him and God. So he's the full picture of God. When we want to know God, we know Jesus. When you come to God, like you're coming to Jesus, you understand that relationship with him and your prayer life cannot be a chore. Cannot be a boring chore. You see, you don't see spending time with someone you love as a chore. If you love someone, you do anything for them. If you love someone, you spend time with them. If you love someone, except you love something else more than that someone. Everything that you love will take your time. It's either God or your work or your wife or your anything that you love will take your time. When you fall in love with God as a father, your prayer life is not a chore. It's not boring. You can fall in love with a song and not fall in love with the God that you sing the song to. And that's why when the choir is singing, you may say, I don't like that song. Who cares whether you like that song? I'm too in love with God that I'm blinded by the boredom or the sweetness of a song. So long as I'm singing to my maker and my lover. Jesus was a full expression of God. Every other prophet were partial. So seeing God and seeing Jesus allows us to see him in the place of a father. Stop praying to earn a point with God. Stop doing anything to earn a point with God. You see, you're already God's son. You're already God's daughter. Are you following? Please look at me. Stop doing anything to earn a point with God. You're already God's son. Look, I have three daughters. Three of them are already my daughters. Whether they talk to me or not. Are you following my point? Whether they converse with me or not, they are already my daughter. My first daughter's name is Tino. If she wakes up in the morning and doesn't greet me, and she walks past me, she's already my daughter. Our relationship with me, father-daughter relationship, is a permanent, unchanging relationship. You see, relationship is permanent. Fellowship can be broken. So it is not my prayer that makes me a son. God does not love me more as a father because I prayed. God loves me more already. Absolutely, completely. He can't love me more than he already does. I am the one who falls in love with God more as I spend time with him. If you are having problems not loving God, you are not spending enough time. There's a tendency for you to fall in love with who you spend time with. That's how our fear starts. That's how our fear does what? Start. You start spending time with the wrong person. In the office. Spending time with the wrong person. On campus. Some people that I even thought were ugly before. But then you start spending time with them. Then you start seeing their nice side. The inner beauty begins to overshadow. And before you know it, you're already smiling like a mumu. You have fallen in love with them because you are spending time. When you spend time with God, there's a capacity to fall in love with him. In Matthew chapter 11 verse 20, help me do more. Matthew 11 verse 20, my time is up. Matthew 11 verse 28, what does it say? Matthew 11 verse 28.
28, come unto me.
Come unto me.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Now, so I want us to follow that very closely. Come unto me, all ye that labor.
And are heavy laden.
And are heavy laden. Yes?
And I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest. Yes.
Take my yoke upon you.
Then he says, take my yoke upon you.
And learn of me.
And learn of me.
For I am meek.
I'm meek.
And lowly in heart.
And lowly in heart.
And ye shall find rest.
And you would find rest.
Unto your soul.
So you see, in that scripture, rest appeared twice. There's a rest that God gives to you. And there's a rest that you find. He says, learn of me. And you find rest. You see that? He says, come unto me. And I'll give you rest. Then he says, learn of me. And you find rest. So there's a rest that you get when you come to Jesus. And there's a rest that you get when you learn of him. When you fellowship with him. Like I said earlier, conversations around fellowship and relationship has to be made very clear. Your relationship with God is unbreakable. It's intact.
It is your fellowship with him that can be broken. Now, when you come to him, this rest versus rest, is salvation rest and fellowship rest, is relationship rest. So the first rest he's talking about is salvation. When you come to him, you get salvation. That's the first one. Then when you learn of him, you find another rest. So I put it here. Number one, salvation guarantees the relationship. The moment you give your life to Christ, you have a relationship with him. Father, son, father, daughter. Nothing can change it. There's nothing as sweet as your voice in the ears of God. You are his daughter. The Bible says, for God seeks worshipers. Why is God seeking worshipers in the midst of all the billions of angels that are singing to him? Because it is a blood thing, not a voice thing. No angel has the capacity to worship God like you can worship him. When he hears the angels, he hears servants. When he hears your voice, he hears his daughter. It's not about your morning voice, it's your morning spirit. It is you bubbling from within. He says, what is man that thou art mindful? He said, you came down and crowned him. The voice in your mouth is blood. That's why I don't care. There's nothing as sweet as it sounds to me when my daughter tells me, daddy. It's sweeter than any other thing. Sweeter than any other voice. Because it's a blood. It's blood. Salvation guarantees relationship. But fellowship guarantees growth. You see that?
Yes,
salvation guarantees relationship. Fellowship guarantees growth. Number two. Salvation makes you sons and daughters. When you come to Jesus, you become a son and a daughter. But fellowship makes you a friend and confidant. There are some of you here today, you are not friends of your parents. You people are cats and mouse. Because you, even though you are still their child, yet you guys don't talk. Why? Because fellowship is different from relationship.
Yes, sir.
Are you following my point?
Yes,
so the initial point of rest is salvation. Initial point of rest is sons and daughters. What it says next is that you find rest. That was what Abraham was to God. He became a friend of God. That God can say, wah, 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 I want to tell you something. You know, God does not backbite.
Yeah.
I learned that. It seems like I should ever stay back. God doesn't backbite. Of all the times that I've heard God speak to me, God, only two times in all my entire walk with God, has God told me about somebody else's sin. You see, God is a confidant. Only two times in all my walk with God, as I'm walking with God, like this, only two times has God told me that this person is doing this thing. Because God does not go about doing a proko and casting people up and down. Say, you are a very bad boy. Me. Only two times. Only two times. The first time he told me, I was on the stage in my former church. I was a choir member. Because the purpose of this revelation is not to make you feel like a strong prophet.
Yes, sir.
Every time God reveals is to change the life of someone. Maybe he's been trying to reach that person and that person is not listening and he needs to let someone else say it. I'm telling you, when he told Jesus, this woman has been sleeping with seven men. That was what God told Jesus. This woman coming is an adulterer. Is that what Jesus Christ said? What did Jesus Christ say? He says, you have seven husbands. How can you have seven husbands? He says, you are ash. Olosho. That's who you are. You are a very bad girl. But he says, you have seven husbands. Because the purpose of that information is for transformation. So, but me, I was not wise. When I stood on that stage that day, I was preparing for Riaza. I perceived in the spirit that guy has been smoking cigarette and drinking. He didn't smoke cigarette and drink that day, but I smelled it. I tapped him straight. Ah! Say, you. The Lord just told me now. I told him like that now, immediately, that you have been smoking and drinking. And I said it loud enough for somebody else to hear. The guy was very furious. What's the name of that? How can you embarrass me with that? And he walked out of the stage and I followed him. I said, am I lying? Tell me I'm lying. The Lord just told me now that that's what I've been doing. And the guy left church and never came back. And the fellow that had him had me say it. The guy said, "Ha, Pastor." I was not a pastor then. He said, "Bro Philip, this one that God is already telling you people since. Let me quickly tell you my own." He said, "Because I know him, it's true. He smokes and he drinks." He said, "Let me tell you my own." So, but that guy never came again. Was that the purpose of that revelation? That was the purpose of that revelation. You see, God is a loving father. He's a loving father. Like I said, he makes you a confidant when you fellowship with. Number three, salvation makes you saved, but fellowship will make you know God. The challenge, however, with our prayer platforms and prayer lives these days is that we have created for ourselves a need-sensitive God. A God that is pro-need. A God that is for needs. So even in the Old Testament, all the names they gave to God were need-based. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provide for me. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that does what? Heals me. The God of our righteousness, the God that makes me righteous. All the names they gave to God was as relates to a need he was meeting. But God is first a father before he is a provider. And that was why Jesus only called him father all through the days on the earth. He called him father. He called him father. The only place Jesus called God, God, only place was when he was on the cross. He says, my God, and why hast thou forsaken me? Because as at that point, it was no longer a father-son relationship. It was a God-sacrifice relationship. Adam had no need. When God created Adam, everything was perfect. Adam did not need breakthroughs. Adam did not need destiny helpers. Adam did not need miracle baby or miracle spouse or open door or global ministry. Adam did not need healing. Adam had no need, and yet Adam talked to God every day. What was Adam telling God? When there were no demons to be casted out, Adam had no need for the anointing. What was Adam telling God when there were no healings needed? I believe that the core of Adam's conversation with God is the crux of a believer's conversation with him. And that is to know him. The more you walk with him, you see, prayer platform request becomes easier when relationship has been built. Making requests in prayer becomes easier when intimacy has been built first in prayer. That was why when Mary said to Jesus that Lazarus was dead, it was easier for Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead than when Martha was saying it. Adam had no need. God is first the Father. That is the challenge with our prayer platforms every morning. That is the challenge with believers that leave Nigeria and go abroad. Because all the prayers that we pray, God, give me, do this, do that. Then you go to a country when their government has done everything your God is supposed to do. Here, before you travel, you cover the road with the blood of Jesus. The blood that was shed for the sins of the world, the entire world. You turn it to kota and cover your road with it. You pray that there will be light. I thought I was driving on one day. I said, God, let there be light. God says, since when? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. The earth was filled with darkness. And I said, let there be light. You are the ones that know why people don't have light in your country. This darkness issue, I have dealt with it long before now. So when you go to a country where you don't have to pray for light to come, where witches are not on your transformer. You see that? I saw a video of people praying over a transformer that the witches will leave the transformer. Now, when you are in a country where you build Christians like that, follow me, that know God as a contractor, know God as a light person, know God as a supplier, as a grocery supplier, know God as an online delivery person. When they know God like that, they now go to a place where all these things are sorted. Then the vacuum and the emptiness of that relationship will be very, very exposed. That there was nothing in this thing. That's why when people have all that they need, in their mind, they think they no longer need God. Because they have created for themselves a God that is need-based. God said to Adam, every morning, every evening, cool of the day, come and talk to me. God is first the Father, before he's the supplier. Your prayer life must therefore be built on the relationship as God as a Father. God as your source. First fall from a relationship dimension. Nobody wants to feel used. Nobody wants to feel used. If all of us call God or call our friends, if you call your friends only when you have a need, that's not a relationship. You have friends like that that call you only when they have a need. You have friends like that? That the moment you see their call, you know. What do? You ignore it. When they send you a text message, doctor, engineer, ambassador, Igwe, African tallest man, shaman. When you see all that thing coming, you know that the end of this thing, bros, I don't know whether if he see 2K for your hand. You know. That's a parasitic relationship. Nobody wants, if you don't want that kind of relationship, why do you think God wants a relationship where you only open your mouth to talk to him only when there's a need? There's a need for healing, that's when you remember him. There's a need for a breakthrough, that's when you remember him. There's a need, that's when you remember him. There's something, there's a need for anointing. You know, we preachers, when I was on campus, the Lord said to me, say, Philip, this is powerful. Say, Philip, if you come to me only when you have a preaching engagement and you come to me to gather information, that's what he calls it. You gather Marcus Catalaba. Lord, your people are here waiting for me. What do I tell them? What do I tell them? Cascalabata. God said, you came to me to gather info, to go and be talking to people about me. He said, that is not preaching, that's backbiting. You are talking about me behind me. We don't talk. We don't have a relationship. First of all, my prayer life must be built on the platform of my relationship with God. Let's close with this. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Mark chapter 3. Verse 13 to 15, help me do more.
And he goeth up into a mountain.
Yes.
And calleth unto him.
Yes.
Whom he would.
Yes.
And they came unto him.
Yes.
And he ordained 12.
Yes.
That they should be with him.
So the Bible says he ordained 12 that what?
They should be with him.
That they should what?
Be with him.
So if you look at this very carefully. He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might. See that? You see that? Are you following me, church? That he might send them forth to preach. He sets the priority straight. Number one, he called them to do what? Be with him. Should be with him. Might send them to preach. He may or may not send them to preach. But the crux of him calling them is what? That they would be with him. So my work for God must stem out of my walk with God. God did not primarily call me to go preach. God did not primarily call me to go do anything for him. The first and the crux of God's call on my life is that I would be with him. This is where the mistake is. This is where the problem is. Because all that we focus on is what we will do for God. And God is eager for a relationship. He's eager for fellowship. Evangelizing the whole world is not our priority. Worship is. The first priority of a believer is to worship his God. Any other thing can come afterwards. If this is in place, other things will work. The reason why people are agitated and fighting in church is that if this is not in place, that other one will wear you out. If you are burnt out in that church, they just use person. They do this. It's just this resource. Why is that one happening to you? Because the first one is absent. If you are first in love with God, you will not notice that you are burning out.
Are you following me? That it should be with him. Priority. And that he might send them. He wants relationship. That's what God wants from me. First, me and you. Leave outside first. You can say, God, no, God says, no, it's me and you. It's me and you. So when you leave church today, you can go back and sit down and say, God, it's me and you. Say, but Pastor, it's boring. Why is it boring? Why is it boring? It's boring because it's empty. So I encourage people, you will not feel like reading the Bible all the time. Let me close. You will not feel like reading the Bible all the time. I have scriptures and Bible books that I read when I feel like I need to read the Bible and I don't feel like. So I pick the book of Mark. You know the book of Mark is 16 chapters? I can read it in one hour. The entire 16 chapters. I have the books of the Bible that I read when I don't feel like reading the Bible. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. One Proverbs a day sends foolishness away. Book of Proverbs, amazing book. Finish it in 2 hours. 2 hours, you finish the book of Proverbs. So I have books ready made. I don't go to Leviticus. I don't read Leviticus. I don't read Haggai. I don't read all that. Now, you may want to read that because you are very historic. I don't. So I pick books. And there's nothing wrong with eating rice every day. You see that? You'll be nourished. Eat rice. You'll be nourished. You have strength. You eat rice. Eat rice. God gave them manna for 40 years. You can read one book every day. The church in China didn't have the complete Bible. Some people had only one page of Ephesians. That's what they read all year. Because they had to tear the Bible and share it. And they had a strong church just reading the book of Ephesians. Just eating rice. Are you following my point? So I don't feel like reading the Bible all the time. I don't feel like praying all the time. How many feel like praying all the time? So I just feel like praying. Oh, I just feel like praying. Every time. I will pray. That's not true. Sometimes I start in the flesh and I wind up in the spirit. I start in the flesh. Kebada bradash. Esketele bregadesha. Mbam bambuski. Increase it. Mendele brado. Increase it. Kedele baradabata. Embrosia. You see, I can raise an atmosphere here now. Now. Embadadaba. Jede bra mambros ketele bata. Ikedede baradabata. I can steer up an atmosphere here. I can start in the flesh and I can wind up in the spirit. Paul says, I will pray in the spirit. I will pray. He didn't say, I feel like praying. He said, I will pray. And I would sing in the spirit. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend time with God. Only Him. And before I knew, His presence begins to flow. Stay there. We have to train believers to stay in God's presence. Quality time is quantity time. All this microwave prayer thing cannot work. 2 minutes, you have already entered spirit. Shut up. Shh. Thank you, Jesus. 2 minutes. How did you do that? How did you bore a hole in 2 minutes? How did you reach the depths of a river in 2 minutes? How did you do that? How? Even Indomie cannot finish like that. I heard that from Pastor Ire. He says, even Indomie, 1 minute, you cannot finish. You cannot cook it like that. How did you have a powerful experience of God in 1 minute? How? Sometimes you stay long. Sometimes I stay for 3 days. What is the next thing, Lord? As you stay there, He reveals Himself to you. He begins to tell you even things you're not asking. I'm telling the truth. Some of us are struggling and striving and we're looking for strategies and systems. You stay with God. Bible says the secret things belong to God. That secret thing you're looking for, it belongs to Him and He will reveal Him to those He has covenant with. Stay there. Sheta, Ekta, Mamba, Mambre, Seta, Mambo, Koske, Baba, Shapra, Kaska, Ektara, Paradi, Memba, Radi. I'll pick the Bible sometimes. I'll read a bit more. Ebroso, Membrada, Ekete, Legada, Embarada, Shaya. If you see you are falling asleep, you stand up. Just like you do when you do your straku. You stand up, you don't sleep because you could fall asleep. So you stand up. Embede, Membo, Zuzu, Evredi, Membraka, Jededekata, Elegede Bataya, Embarabata. You pay the price of building a strong intimacy with God.
When you see him like that, any other thing becomes easier. Why is it easy for me to pray? Why is it easy? I am used to it. You see, I'm used to it. When David was given the armor of Saul to face Goliath, the Bible says he wore the armor. What happened to him? He could not move. He removed the armor and he went to pick stones. You see, why did he go pick stones? He's used to stones. God does not use what he's not used to. You would think that the enemy is very big. This is a Goliath enemy. But God will use stone for it. Because this stone, the Bible calls them smooth stones. Why? They had been in the river. He went to the river to pick them. The water of the world. The river of the world has been washing over them. Whoosh, whoosh, they have become smooth. Smooth. So he went to pick out of the smooth stones. God does not use what he is not used to. He said to Isaiah, who shall we send? Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. He didn't say, there I am. I've been here all the while. When it's time for God to send, he will look around. He doesn't look afar. He looks around. So it is those who are around that he picks from. Who is God going to use for your family? Those who are around. Who is he going to use for the country? Those who are around. When it's time for God to pour out his spirit, a new dimension, there will be waves of apostolic visitations upon our generation. There will be a wave. There's a wave now. Another wave is coming. Another wave is coming. Who are people that will participate in the next wave? When it's time, God will look around. Sometimes we go and pick somebody that nobody knows. But he knows. Because God has been around. That was my story. When it was time for him to move on my campus, he went to pick someone that nobody knows. Who was that person? It was me. I've been around. Nobody knew me, but I've been in the secret place. The work might be mighty. The work might be big. But God will only use the stones he's used to. Is God used to you? Does he hear your voice every morning? Does he speak to you? You that you've never spoken to God before, it's not a turn of marriage. You now begin to pray. Emergency prayer. Father, is he your will? Is he your will? Which will? How? How will you know God's voice like that? How? You now pick five brothers' pictures. Master, anyone I point to, Lord, is the one. You begin all that because you have not grown intimacy with the word of God. With the voice. You know how I knew God's voice? I knew God's voice by reading the Bible. That's how I knew God's voice. Anytime when I was a young Christian, I tried to open the Bible. I noticed that there was a voice that was always trying to explain the Bible to me. I don't even know what I'm talking about. When I open it, I'm reading Ephesians. It's as if somebody's telling me, so this is what these things means. I'll be hearing that voice. So when I now notice that, this might be the voice of God, though. So I quickly picked the Bible and I was reading it more. Until I became very familiar with that voice. Sometimes I now lure that voice into another conversation. I will now say, Father, apart from this Bible self, there's something that I've been on my mind. So you see, that voice had already begun, has started talking to me. It doesn't stop. And I got clear instructions. Clear instructions. Where do I see visions? I saw visions in the presence of God. We're going to start our church and we're looking for a venue. I was in CSC. I'm even not CSC. CSC, Community Affairs Commission. That was where I was. I come out, we're looking for a venue. I was practicing law. I was looking for a venue. I sat in my car. I said, God, there must be a place for us. And he showed me a vision in the car, where I parked in the car park. I saw the hotel. For the first time, I saw the hotel. He says, go there. That's the place for you. I went there. The hotel had been built for almost 20 years. They had never allowed any church to stay there. We were the first church ever they accepted. Every place was saying 100,000 per hour. 100,000 per day. Only that place allowed for 25,000. Because that was what we had. And God had to provide that place for us. Where did I get it? In my secret place. Are you following me this morning? I want you to bow down your heads where you are and say, Father, I pray today that you help me develop an intimacy with you in the name of Jesus. Help me develop an intimacy. Help me develop an intimacy with you in my place of prayer. That prayerlessness will be a thing of the past in my life. That struggling in the place of prayer will be a thing of the past.
in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray that prayer. Pray with all your heart. Pray an heartfelt prayer. Let it be. Let it be, Lord, a thing of strength in my prayer place, that I will not struggle in my prayer place. I will not struggle in my prayer life. In the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, build intimacy. Help me, Lord, build intimacy. Are you praying? Are you praying? Help me, Lord, build intimacy with you. Intimacy in my place of prayer. Intimacy in my place of study. Help me build strength. Help me build intimacy. Somebody pray. Kebarada Shambrandoski attire. Help me build intimacy. Help me build intimacy in my place of study. Help me build intimacy in my place of prayer. That my place of prayer will not be empty. Help me put fire on my altar. Pray, pray. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Kibarada Shambrankata Yabaha. Membako Sufre Kateli Kiblia. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord God. Zeka Barada Shambrande. Kebarabakus Kitaya. Help me not to be a prayerless person. Help me build intimacy as I grow in my work with you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Pray, pray. I'm going to give you 1 more minute to pray. I don't want to be a prayerless believer. I don't want to be weak in my place of prayer. I don't want to be weak in my place of prayer. I don't want to be weak in my place of prayer. Help me, Lord. Help my heart to grow in its fondness for you. Help my heart. Pray, pray. I'm deliberate about asking you to pray more. Pray. That my work for you will stem out of my work with you. That you will work on my life. Work on my temper. Work on my flesh. Work on my excesses. Help me, Lord. Ketakabarada Shabrande Lebahaya. Kebarada Shkibarande Bataya. Pray, pray, pray. Jesus. Jesus, help me, Lord, in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.